It is absolutely a great honor to be asked to be here. And I'm so thankful that the Lord would bring us all together. Thankful for the message last night. Pray that God be pleased to bless us today, that we might truly be made to hear worship. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21. I'd like to look at verse 9, and then a few of the verses following, primarily. My text will be verse 9, Proverbs 21, 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. When Adam disobeyed God in the garden, he absolutely died spiritually, morally, therefore was going to die physically, just like the Lord told him that he would. When he ate of the fruit, he was immediately captured. He was tried, found guilty before God. A sinner, a rebel against God. And sin began then to work in his members, and the effects of sin became immediately evident. The eyes of Adam and his wife Eve were opened, minds began to see. They knew that they were now naked. They were naked before God, and they stood now before him shamed and in need of a covering because of their rebellion. Now they knew that. And what they did is they did exactly what every man, every woman born in Adam thinks he can do. They took some fig leaves and sewed them together and made themselves aprons to hide their nakedness before God. Now that mindset permeates mankind, as he's born in Adam. That's what man thinks he can do. He can hide himself from God. Obnoxious rebellion against God. God Almighty told him, you're going to die. This is what man thinks. I'm not dead. I have not truly died before God. I have ability to do something. And what man thinks now is that he truly is the author and finisher of his faith, salvation before God. I can. It does not matter what God says. That's the totality now of man's religion before God, summed up. And the Scripture declares that thought to be nothing more than a harlot of unfaithfulness. This is man's religion as he's born in Adam. Hold your place right there and turn with me to Revelation 17. This is man. This is man's religion. This is the world's religion right here. Revelation 17, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 17, 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, that is man's religion. Nothing more than a harlot, an adulteress, unfaithful. This brawling woman spoken of in Proverbs 21, she is the woman, the strange woman of Proverbs 7. Strange, estranged. Turn with me to Proverbs 7. Here she is, right here, this woman of the night, this great harlot who is estranged from God and true godliness. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She's loud, stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Here is a woman set forth describing man's religion. Man, as he's born in Adam, dead man religion, harlot religion, adulterous religion, a stranger to God and godliness, stranger to Christ and His person, His work, His glory, stranger to the Holy Spirit, His work, glorious operation of effectually calling out God's elect, regenerating them in power and keeping them, knows nothing of Him. She's the brawling woman in Proverbs 21, verse 9. And the Scripture declares her to be that one, that mistress of seduction. She's loud, pouring out foolishness and unchaste words to entice. Stubborn, rebellious, self-willed against God. All that is right. A brawling woman of contentious in a wide house. Now this is what it says, it's better. It's better. And the amazing thing, it's not until Almighty God gives man or woman light. They realize it's better. Until then, they're perfectly satisfied. Stay right with her. Stay with her. Love her. Enticed by her. It's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. What do you mean a wide house? A house of enchantment. That's what it is. Of deception. Wide house. She is all false religion. It's better, it's good to dwell, to sit in this corner of a housetop, separated from the clutches of this great harlot, the mystery Babylon, than to stay with her. When Almighty God opens up the eyes the vessels of His mercy, then they realize it's better. Why is it better? Well, look at verse 10. It's better because this brawling woman hates God. Now, again, until the Lord opens her eyes and teaches, she don't know. Nobody knows that. Everybody thinks, I love the Lord. I love Him. The Scripture says, this woman, this brawling woman, the soul of the wicked, desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Why? This woman, her soul, her mind, her affection, her appetite of that brawling woman, that wicked, desireth, always desires, and only desires, wishes, for nothing but evil. And his neighbor, the companions, the lovers, all that associate with her. The scripture declares that the neighbor of this wicked findeth no favor in his eyes. Oh, she speaks of love. I love you. We love you. This community, we love this community. The scripture says absolutely there's no favor. No favor, no love, no pity, no grace, no sympathy. Except for herself. Self-centered. She covets and lusts after evil against God, against others, and judgment for herself. That's what she wants. It's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than when the brawling woman in a white house. Why? Because she hates God. I'll tell you another reason. It's because she's going to suffer the wrath of God. It's better to be separated from her. Come out from among her and be separated. It's better because Almighty God's going to deal with her in judgment. Look at verse 11 and 12. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. When the scorner, the one that makes a mouth at, that's what it's talking about. When the one that mocks and scoffs at God. And that's what she's doing. The scorner is punished, and she shall be. She didn't think she would. Man's a sinner against God and thinks that he's going to get off. Hold your place right there. Turn to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, verse 7. Isaiah 47, 7. This woman that dwells in this wide house, this house of enchantment, this house of witchery. This is what God has to say. Isaiah 47, 7. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in the perfection of the multitude of thy sorceries, for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am. There's none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. Mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments in the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, stargazers, monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall surely, that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Why is it better to come out and be separated from a brawling woman, because she's under the judgment of God. The end of all false religion, confidence in self, it's better to be separated because she's going to be judged. All but the delivered and the rescued, those made wise unto salvation, they're going to be instructed. That's what the scripture says. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. That righteous man, he wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Whenever the vessels of God's mercy are delivered from this brawling woman, they're given understanding of themselves, what they are by nature. A sinner, unable in self. They're given understanding of God's judgment and justice against them. And they receive instruction. Then they do. They've received instruction from God. They know something of where they've come from, where God's delivering them from. They've been cleansed from the filthiness by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and delivered from all their idols and given a new heart, a new spirit. And now, not before, it's better, but they didn't know it. But now, having been given instruction, the scripture sets forth, the righteous man now wisely considereth the house of the wicked. You that's been delivered from the brawling woman of false religion, where we all, I know I did, sat convinced, I was right. You couldn't have convinced me that I was wrong, but having been taken out. Now, he looks and wisely considers where the Lord's delivered him from. That house from which he's been taken. Now they know that wide house of that brawling woman was built upon nothing that would stand the judgment of God. Look at Matthew 7. Hold your place. Look at Matthew 7, 24. Here's what they wisely considered. The Lord giving them some wisdom. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now that man made wise, that righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. What's going to happen to it? God's going to destroy it. Now that wise man knows that God's just will by no means clear the guilty. Now he knows wisely that that brawling woman, that harlot, that deceiver, she'd been lying to me. She lied to me because she was of nothing more than the devil himself, who is the liar. And now all of the proclamation of her little g god, he was no god. And now they know by the opening of their eyes and their mind, now they know that that brawling woman withheld. It's better to dwell on a rooftop, corner of a rooftop, is better. Stay in a wide house with a brawling woman, a house of deception and enchantment. It's better. Why? Because she withheld that which was absolutely necessary to the salvation of God's elect. She never preached the gospel to him. Verse 13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself but shall not be heard. Whoso stoppeth his ears, whoso will not hear, will not proclaim, that is needful to the spiritually poor, the poor in spirit. That one who refuses and stops his ears is going to cry one day, and he's not going to be heard. What is that great need? What is it that we desperately, we must hear right now? The message of life in Christ. Tell me who I am, being born in Adam. Tell me that I am a sinner against God. And tell me of the God of all grace. Tell me of the electing God. Tell me of that predestinating grace Brother Don preached on last night. Tell me of Him who saves His people and redeemed them by particular redemption. I laid down my life for the sheep. Tell me the truth. Tell me of regenerating grace. Tell me of the Spirit of God that blows as the wind. Tell me when God Almighty crosses the path of a sinner as they hear the gospel. How are they going to hear? Tell me of a preacher sent by God to tell me the truth. And what's the reason? Why would one that it's better to come out, because he that stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he's going to cry. Turn with me to Matthew 25. I'll show you the importance. Why is it better to come out from one that has stopped their ears to the truth and will not proclaim? Why is it better? I'll tell you why. Because it's going to come up the day of judgment. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, you took Me in. I was naked, you clothed Me. I was sick, you visited Me. I was in prison, you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hunger, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink, or saw Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, you've done it unto Me. In the day of judgment, Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to turn to the sheep on His right hand, and He's going to say unto them, Enter in. Enter in. Because. Look at verse 35. What's the first word in verse 35? You enter in for, because I was hungry. I was hungry, and you did to Me as you did it to My people. You've done it unto the least of these My brethren. You've done this to Me. I was hungry for the bread of heaven, the bread of life, and you gave Me meat. You told Me in My people of the bread Myself. That's what He's saying. I was thirsty for the hearing of the water of life, the fountain of life, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. I was an alien, a stranger to the covenant of promise. And you took me in. You joined yourself, associated with me, and told me of the haven of rest, myself. I was naked, and you clothed me. You told me in my people of myself and of my righteousness imputed to them. You told me in them of the covering that's accepted. I was sick from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot because of the fall in Adam of my people. And you visited me. You told my people, and you did it to me, of the great position of life. I was in prison. I was bound in trespasses and sins. And you came unto me, and you told my people. You preached the gospel to me, to my people. And you told me of the strong man who came in and bound one that was strong, but the stronger bound me. And the deliverance of the captives. Whenever Stephen was preaching to the Jews, and he related the story of God's sovereign grace, mercy in Christ, and told them that he, as he stood there, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you who always do resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, and those who were betrayers, murderers of the just one." And the scripture says, Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out. The Lord said, "You," back in Proverbs 21, "you who did not shut your ears to the cry of my people. You who preached the gospel to them. You there, you did that to me. You enter in. You who have life and told them of life. But to all that stoppeth their ears to the cry of the poor, refuse to feed the spiritual hunger and thirsty, and those who are spiritually naked, sick, in prison," he said, "you're going to cry yourself. And you're not going to be heard. Lord," Matthew 7, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than in a wide house of enchantments, lying, deception, with a brawling woman. It's better. I know it's better. But how am I going to be taken out of her? How am I going to be delivered? I must be delivered because I can't deliver myself. Oh, listen. He who everlastingly loved his people. Turn with me in closing. Ephesians chapter 2. He who everlastingly loved his people and chose his people in Christ, gave them, charged them to the surety, put them in Christ. And Brother Scott would always say, where God puts a man, that's where God keeps a man. Put them in Christ. And the surety who everlastingly stood for them, and Almighty God, Jehovah, the Father, who looked at the surety, and none but the surety, and delivered them by the shedding of His blood, imputed His righteousness to them, having made them righteous before God in Himself. How did they get out? How did they get out of that brawling woman? It's better, but Lord, you want to take me out. I can't get out myself. I'm the one spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, with that brawling woman of deception, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, against God, just like them did, all. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's better. It's better. It's better. But Almighty God's going to have to do something for a sinner that he can't do for himself. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Christ's sake.